Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their seasons as the Black Knights seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophies. As for Football can be found on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, and all other social media platforms at As for Football. Sign up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for the continued support of As for Football and West Point Athletics.
So, all right. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the As for Football show. It's been a while. You know, I know we've all been kind of busy. Life's back to normal. It's the off season. Things are just happening outside of Army football. But that doesn't mean that things aren't happening inside Army football. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's been a lot of movement, a lot of exciting pieces. Things are starting to come together. First years have graduated. They're, you know, summer training is in full swing. So we're going to dive into that, give you all the news updates, Army sports updates, everything that we know. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give it to you. So, yeah, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and Rob in, if you didn't guess it, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good, man. Very good. It has been a wild time. So, yeah, I've been busy as all hell.
What, you know, I follow you on Twitter, obviously, and you went through a craft beer phase and then you went through a snobby wine phase. You've gone through multiple athletic event phases, parenting phases, WWE, vinyl. You just seem like you're a serial hobbyist. Like every you know, week you're onto something new. Like what have you been doing?
That's not wrong. So I embraced my status as a Coastal Elite member and graduated from craft beer to wine. And you can't see it behind me, but there's like 50 bottles of wine down here in my basement with me. That I'm like, you know, I never just dip my toe in, you know, it's just dive straight in.
Yeah.
I'm also swimming across the Sound again this year. So look, you know, follow me and I'll get Jordan to retweet us. But, you know, we need sponsors for the Swim Across the Sound, raising money for a local cancer charity in honor of Andy Rieger's wife, who passed away from cancer a few years ago. Of course, my family was decimated with cancer. So, yes, I am also training to swim across Long Island Sound.
Anything else, or is that, you know, is that it?
There's a ton. I mean, I got a kid in college. I got a rising senior in high school. Like, yeah, there's a ton, but this is where we are.
Very cool. Rob, how are you doing?
I am doing a lot of trade shows for my other job. And
oh, there you go.
Your road job?
Yes. And I've started my research for school, and I will not dive too much more into that because I may be picking your guys' brains as opportunities to communicate that. But yeah, I made the mistake of signing up for a doctoral program. So I'm working on a doctorate of strategic learning right now. It's strategic leadership, but it's actually strategic learning. I'm getting my teeth kicked in. So I've been writing about 5,000 words a week. My hat's off to the guys that actually do this routinely, because I don't want to do it at all, but I have a better appreciation for Dan and James now, given the amount of writing that they do in support of the show. So that is what I have going on. And I have a medical trade show on Friday. So we're talking about human performance with a bunch of people in North Carolina and how we can make our athletes better. And, you know, soldiers being athletes as well, their game time is a little bit different from the average kid playing basketball or football, but still human performance is where we're at this month. So I will stop there.
Very cool. So it wasn't just enough to be Rob the Angry Colonel. Now you have to be Dr. Rob the Angry Colonel.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna reserve the doctor title for people that I don't like. So like if it's doctor to you, that means like that's my kind way of saying F off, you know. Oh,
okay.
But I think I'll reserve that for people I dislike.
Very cool. Well,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Best of luck as you go through that. Well, no one on this show bought a house this summer, but I'm sure that some people did. And so if you did and you didn't go through Craig, you made a mistake, because our friend and sponsor, Craig Oxen, is the VP of residential lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. He's class of 94. Dan, you were 95?
I was 95, correct.
95, okay. Did Craig ever haze you?
I'm sure he must have, because I feel like every single upperclassman in the entire academy got me at one point, but I do not remember if he did. So it wasn't bad enough to leave scars.
Well, that's important. They don't teach that class at the academy anymore. So Craig is based out of Chicago. He can lend in all 50 states. He's one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. Super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. This mortgage process is complicated. Everyone on the show has bought a home at some point. Mortgage rates are constantly moving and increasing, and the Fed's doing their thing, and inflation and whatever the hell else. Now is not the time to mess with some clown who you met on the internet, or it was like the free connect me with a mortgage lender on realtor.com. Like, Craig is the guy to go to. He knows what he's talking about. And this is how the West Point Network functions. He's helping us stay in business at As for Football, and we're trying to help you get a better deal on your mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. He doesn't charge lender fees either for veterans. So that's a savings of like $1,300. So that's your wife's new fridge. That's your outdoor grill. That's, you know, that's moving fees. That's all kinds of stuff that you can save by going with Craig. So if you're looking to refinance or buy a home and you're a veteran, you need to go through Craig, or you're making a big mistake. So go ahead and check him out. We have links on our website, or you can just Google him, or check our social media. So Craig's awesome.
My buddy called me about this just totally out of the blue the other day. He was like, he just opens up the conversation from a cold stop, like, dude, I'm trying to buy a house and it's such a pain in the ass. And I was like, I know you're not listening to my show now. But I did. I texted him Craig's contact information, and he was eternally grateful, because it's like your application just disappears into the void with some of these guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So make sure you check Craig out. He's going to take care of you. So, talking about football now, Army football, things look a little bit different, you know, for a football player at a service academy in the summer, as you might imagine. So right now they're going through STAP. Rob, did you ever have to go through STAP? I feel like you did.
Yes, I did. I was not an academic giant at West Point, so I spent a couple of summers, a plebe and yearling year, at the academy over the summer, catching up on some opportunities.
There you go. Opportunities for improvement.
Yes.
So if you haven't guessed what we're talking about, STAP is Summer Term Academic Program, a.k.a. summer school. So it's when you're like soon to be Dr. Rob, the angry colonel, when you fail a class. That's ironic. Or core squad athletes can actually underload during the season and like use STAP to take courses. So they'll go through summer and they'll do two sessions of STAP, take four courses, and then in the fall they might only have two or three courses on their plate. So it gives them more time to recover and practice and all this other stuff. So, I mean, plus you're just taking fewer hours. It's just better. It just spreads everything out for these athletes. And so, you know, they can be up there, they can work out on the weekends and stuff like that, do team functions, bond, all this other stuff. Downside is they don't get summer leave. You know, my brother's a member of the football program, and he was home for, I think, like 6 days. And then that was during your graduation week. So then he was right back up for CFT1. Then he has staff and camp and all that other stuff. And so addition to staff, then you have IADS, which is military air assault school, you know, the best school that you can go to.
Notice not at all. Insult paratroopers everywhere. Continue.
Anyway, or you can go to airborne school. Some people go to airborne school. You know, people do weird rotations with French Foreign Commandos and all kinds of stuff. You do academic, so summer battlefield staff rides. I went to Walmart corporate for 3 weeks. You know, some people go to the FBI, some people work on Wall Street, all kinds of stuff. And then you have PIADS, which is like that pre-season strength training, weightlifting, summer camp. Not like summer camp, like you're going to go, you know, zip line, but like summer camp, like you're going to go get ready for football season. So the football players have, you know, an IAD of some kind. Sometimes they go to air assault school, or they have CFT or CTLT or CLDT, and then STAP, PIAD. So very busy in the summer. Rob, we know you spent a lot of time in Thayer Hall with that no AC, doing some academic remediation. But other than that, what was your favorite summer?
So my favorite summer, believe it or not, was the summer of 96. So I got to go to airborne school during the 96 Olympics, when like all the Olympic softball was going on down at Fort Benning. So it was like, cool. You're ducking through, like, it was cool, but it also added like 30 minutes to every trip at Fort Benning, which is already difficult enough during PT hours because you're trying to avoid all the Olympic traffic. But that was pretty cool. And then the coolest part about it was I did CTLT and airborne school in the same summer. Cool part about airborne school was my dad was still on active duty, so he got to go through airborne refresher, and he jumped my first and qualifying jump and was a guest speaker at my graduation. So that kind of was my back was against the wall. So it's like if I screwed it up and got recycled or something like that, that would have been a horrible, horrible experience. But lucked out and made it all the way through, and it was a good time. The ironic part was a real crappy piece of it was I did CTLT at third of the third. So I was at 310 field artillery or first of the 10th field artillery. And then we went to do MMT training at Fort Knox. So I ended up going back to Fort Knox the summer after I was a B squad leader. So all the plebes that were yearlings, I got to see them all again as the CTLT cadet, which was awful. But hey, that's how it goes, I guess.
Nice. Well, you know, it could have been worse, I guess. But that is cool about your dad. Dan, what did you do in the summer?
So I never did. I never did the summer swimming program. And in fact, I didn't even know there was a summer swimming program until like 2 years ago. My buddy Andy started talking about it. I was like, wait, what? Like, I just never even. So one summer I did airborne school and B squad leader, which was cool. Again, my dad, like Rob, my dad came and made that fifth jump with me. He didn't speak at our graduation, though. So I wish he was still alive because I would talk a little crap to him about that. Yeah, he missed an opportunity there. But my favorite, I did one of those summer battlefield tours in Europe with the history department, and it was freaking awesome. I mean, it was just an amazing time. And then came back and I did CTLT up at Fort Drum with a transportation company. So that was about as chill as you can imagine. I mean, you know, we spent most of the summer touring through Canada, like trying to find every bar, you know, in the Great White North. It was pretty good.
Wow. Corps has. I blew out my shoulder end of plebe year. So that plebe, you know, I guess yearling summer, they sent me home. And then, you know, I had CFT1 and my 3 weeks at Walmart corporate before Cal year, and then going into first year, I had CTLT, CLDT, and then a Beast 2. It was a Beast 2 XO. Was horrible, especially if you have a horrible commander. It's not a pleasant experience, but that's life. So Dan, next section's all you as the senior partner for Asper.
Yeah. So, hey, friends, listen, this show needs a new sponsor. We're looking for a sponsor, and so we're going to tell you about it. Asper Football is an outstanding way to introduce yourself and your product to military members, especially, obviously, Academy grads and other Army football fans. You know, spoiler alert, not every Army football fan went to Army. There are a lot of them that are just in the Army. I mean, pretty good number. So sponsoring our show gives you a chance to sort of like build that personal connection with your audience. We're going to make you a person, not just a product. So we're not just running a commercial, right? We're trying to talk about your brand and what you do. Over the years, I think we've gotten a sense of what kind of businesses do well advertising with us and who's going to struggle. You know, for example, military members move a lot. So Craig Oxane, our sponsor, currently he's done really well with his sponsorship because everybody's going to need a house. I'm just telling you, I think we've learned this, right? So if you want to talk about that with me, reach out at askforfootball@gmail.com. I'd love to talk about it with you. Like I said, I have a sense of like what's going to work on the show and what's not. And I'll be honest with you. I think what we've learned is that we need successful partners, not people who are fans of the show. So there you go.
Yeah. So with that, remember to sign up for our mailing list. So if you like Army football and hate social media, or if your dad likes Army football but hates social media, subscribe your non-social media having dad to our mailing list, askforfootball.com/subscribe. We send out one email per week during the season with links to that week's content, and that's it. Too easy. It's simple. You get all the content in your mailbox. You can read it. You can help us out. And sponsors, we send an email out to people with your logo in that email. So if you're the sponsor, you're also going to get that direct-to-consumer marketing. So let's talk Army football.
You know, it's been a while, right?
Stuff. It's been a while. So the Athletic has done a really good season preview. So make sure you check that out. But I'm just going to get handed over to the guys, just like we do during the season. Rob's going to take the defense. Dan's going to take the offense. And since James isn't here, I'm going to take special teams. So, Rob, over to you to talk defense.
Yeah, so defense. Everybody's hot on Andre Carter. I mean, he showed out last year, sack leader in college football. I mean, he's the man unless he doesn't perform. And I think that could be good and bad. So he's going to get a lot more attention from the pro scouts, but it also puts a lot more pressure on him as a player to perform. So he's got to rise to the occasion either way. He had a great year last year. If he plays as well as he did last year, this season, he could make Army football history as probably one of the best linebackers in recent memory, if not the best linebacker ever at West Point. And that's, you know, that's rarefied air when you're being talked about as a historical Army football linebacker. You know, some of them now are general officers and, you know, some of them have played in the NFL, but either way, I think there's a lot to go for it with Andre Carter. Like it's his season to perform or not. And I think he'll rise to the occasion. I think with the new defensive scheme too, we'll see how things change. Maybe he moves inside. Maybe he continues to play outside. Maybe they put him at defensive end for a couple of plays. Who knows? It could be anything just to change the defensive standpoint. However, a lot of big gaps in the defense this season. So we've got Nolan Cockrell left. Eric Smith, of course, is gone. Cedric Cunningham and Malcolm Morrison all have moved on to bigger and better things, i.e. the Army. So they will be watching their first Army game probably from their Bullock respective courses and trying to sneak off and watch the games. But I think the biggest thing is those guys are all great players, but Cockrell is probably the most difficult guy to replace just given his numbers last season. And Army's always been good at finding linebackers and safeties. You know, Spencer Jones looks good in the offseason. Cockrell is a unique talent, and it's going to be really, really difficult. You know, next man up, always Breesewell, and particularly Academy Sports. But it's a little bit, you know, more difficult when you're going from being like a backup for somebody that's injured to a starter. And then key returners, Markell Broughton is back. He's the defensive captain. We already talked about Carter and Jones. The athletic list, the linebacker for Brees Vaughn is Carter's backup, but I bet you he's probably going to get on the field a little bit more. Of course, as always, there's always that revolving door at middle linebacker at Army that kind of just shows up as the standout player on the defense every year. Frey and Bonsu are back, and they both need to have great games, and Moore and Morris are back in the defensive backfield. The biggest takeaway or concern for me is I want to see if Frey or Bonsu kind of moves a little bit closer inside to play the nose tackle position. Either one of those guys, they're kind of edge players, but I'd like to see one of them kind of step up and try and backfill Cockrell. And then, of course, Jabari Moore had two picks last season, but majority of the picks were from safeties and outside linebackers. We need more production out of the defensive backfield to make our corners a threat, to reduce the opportunity for teams to try and go downfield on us. I think Elijah Riley is probably the most notable guy from the defensive backfield in recent memory. He had seven picks as a career, you know, and that's low for most universities that play Division I schedules. But you also have to look at the competition that Army plays against as well. Not as many people are airing it out as Wake Forest did last season. But I will pause there and pass it over to Dan for the offense.
Well, you know, before we go on, I just got to say, typically you think about Army having a good run defense and struggling with pass rush. You know, this year, just at least on paper, they look like they're going to have a good pass rush, but perhaps struggle up the middle against the run, which is pretty weird. But you're losing your nose tackle and basically the inside of your defense. Like, I'm sure that people are going to step up at middle linebacker, but that's a very different dynamic than I think we've ever seen before. So I'm sort of interested to see how that plays out. But anyway, on to the offense. Guys, this team might have more offensive potential than any we've seen at Army in years and years. Start along the offensive line, which I think probably makes the biggest difference for Army. You start with offensive captain, center Connor Bishop, returning. He is a monster inside. Left tackle Jordan Booby Law should be back from the injury he suffered versus Navy. You know, low-key, one of the biggest storylines of that game was that when Loss went out, that's when Army started tripping over their own feet and struggling to move the ball. You know, you lose one of your strongest guys, that's apt to happen. Likewise, we're bringing back left guard Cal Sam Barzak. Athletic says he's in a competition with Aiden Gaines to see who's going to start left guard. I'm just telling you, I think it's going to be Barzak. I guess we'll see. Right guard, Connor Finucane returns. He was also outstanding last year. So right now, along the offensive line, the really only unknown is who's going to be the right tackle. In a triple option offense, that right tackle is not typically the make or break position. I'm not saying it's not important, because obviously the offensive line in general is important, but you're coming back with essentially four known quantities on the offensive line and a couple of real standouts. That's exciting. Looks like we're coming back to the return of the multi-quarterback system. So we're going to see Tyre Tyler. I know that he has both fans and detractors. I am personally a huge fan of his. I think he makes the plays that are just not there. He finds a way to make them. On the other hand, I know that Jordan is privately has a man crush on Cade Ballard. I believe we'll see Mr. Ballard on the field quite a bit this season. That's my expectation. And then Jamel Jones kind of rounding out those top three. We'll see how that plays out. Fullbacks, Jacoby Buchanan and Tyson Riley. Again, I think we know who these guys are, right? Buchanan, personally, might be the best skill position player on the team, if you're asking me. I know that that's a hot take, but there you go. Slot backs, Tyrell Robinson, Breham Murphy, and former quarterback Maurice Ballon has moved over to the slot. All three of those guys, really talented, really athletic guys. And then we've got wide receiver Isaiah Alston. He forayed into the transfer portal. He did not leave. He has more catches and receiving yards than anybody since Alejandro Villanueva, 449 yards on 22 catches. Pretty good average there. Tight end Joshua Lingenfelter. Coach Drinkall said, you know, was an outstanding tight end last year. I think we've seen that. Then they've got Cole Catterbone listed as a slot back slash wide receiver. I think we'll see him outside more often. So at this point on all of that, essentially you need a right tackle, a backup tight end, and maybe a couple of wide receivers. That's a lot of depth right now, a lot of known depth on the offensive football side.
So Dan, I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but it seems like every year we have this show and we go, wow, you know, like this could be like the best, you know, Army offense we've ever seen. There's so much talent, blah, blah, blah. And then like someone gets hurt and then all of a sudden we're rushing for like 200 yards a game because we're trying to do whatever the hell we're going to do. This roster is stacked, but do you think Davis is going to screw it up and start doing funky things and waste the offensive potential of this team?
Well, I'll steal Rob's thunder because I know he wants to talk about this a little later, because he loves that inside trap play. And I think Davis loves that inside trap play too. And they keep trying to hand it off to Tyrell Robinson inside on some kind of misdirection. And they've had limited success with that. So, you know, I think he's going to screw it up? No, I believe that Davis is a good quarterback. He's had a lot of success at Army. We were all frustrated by the Navy game. I continue to think that Army got beat by a bad team because of, you know, reasons. What are you going to do? I think that this team is going to win a lot of games, but they got to get off to a fast start because the first part of the schedule is the hardest part. So we'll just see how it sort of shakes out.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm hoping that after the Navy catastrophe, things change and maybe our philosophy on both sides of the ball gets amended. So, I mean, I will say, you know, as horrible as that loss was, and as much as I hate seeing Fagot on whatever running his damn mouth, none of our coaches got poached. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise. But anyway, so special teams, we have Billy Bokey?
I don't know. Let's hope we didn't say it wrong.
I don't know. He's the new punter, so we'll hear what Ross Tucker has to say and how to pronounce the name, and then we'll get it right. Then Cole Talley and Quinn Moretzky are both back for kickers. So hopefully, you know, knock on wood, Army should have some good field goal game this year. But we'll see. I don't want to jinx it. So, Dan, who are we watching this season?
Well, I am watching Isaiah Alston just because he's such a downfield passing threat. I mean, you know, every time Army's got that big guy that they can sort of throw the ball down to, they seem to make that work. And, you know, right now we've got two real passing threats, Alston and Tyrell Robinson. And that's one more than I think we've ever seen, right, at the same time. So I'm sort of excited to see how that plays out. And then the other thing is, and this kind of goes back to your point, is We know Tyhear Tyler is going to get the ball and play a lot, which is good. I like Tyler. I think he's got a great heart, as I already said. I think he makes the plays that aren't even there. However, how much are they going to let him read and throw and run the offense versus just, you know, wildcat quarterback zone? As, you know, they scored that touchdown against Mizzou because they let him play. And they got to let my man play. That's all there is to it.
2 years ago, I get why they didn't want him to just kind of run the offense on his own. But yeah. He is a first. He's been in this offense playing for 2-3 years. Like, it is time to let the senior do his thing and let him make the reads. And if he doesn't make the reads, then, you know, adjust accordingly. But I don't think handicapping him by giving him design plays that don't work because the defense reads it well is how we're going to win football games. But we'll see. I'm not a coach. So, Rob, what about you?
All right, so two things. Dan already stole my thunder about the inside play. I actually had a note in the outline about Terry Baggett's 304-yard game in 2013 against Eastern Michigan. There's actually a link in the description. But honestly, I think that inside trap play, which is very, very important to the offense for two reasons. One, because it gets the fullback going, but it also uses that fullback as a misdirection to create that space in the, you know, in that wider gaps between the guards and tackles. So I think we can get into that type of action. Got to establish the fullback first. As always, we beat that drum to death. But that other inside trap play, you know, in between the, you know, the three and the four hole is great to have for the offense so long as we're creating that. And I think really what it is, it's not something that Robinson can do because I think he's too small to try and run that inside trap. But I think you use Tyler and Robinson on the edge. And then, you know, figure out if Raheem Murphy wants to step up and be like the kind of middle tier back that's willing to hit those tackle gaps and kind of bust those long seams on the hash. I think that's what we really need. That would be complete to the triple option, but it also kind of plays off of all the strengths. You get the dive first, you get the inside trap going, and then you run that counter trap option. And then the edge is set because you're sucking everybody in and the defense is adjusting to the success of the fullback and the inside trap. So I think that's what I would like to see. I'm not looking particularly at a particular player, but I'd like to see a little bit more action between the tackles, not just with the fullback, but with the running backs as well. But, you know, if it's not working, go away from it quickly and then come back to it later, because I think that's kind of what happened in the Navy game is we got stuck. It's like, oh, we got to run that inside trap play, and it wasn't working. And then it just became quicksand because we were getting pushed off the ball and everybody was tripping. So at that point, that's when you pull it and set the edge and go. And I think, you know, establishing that a little bit earlier in the season and then transitioning to a full triple option, that's really what I would like to see Tyhear Tyler running the offense with all three options on the table. You know, not just, hey, fake to the fullback and then it's a double option on the edge. But I will pass it over to you, Jordan, for your thoughts.
No, I completely agree, Rob. I want to see that progression. I want to see him be able to run it. I also want to see from like a play calling perspective that we're not just trying something because, oh, well, it worked in practice. Like, let's like, we need to be able to adjust and say, okay, like, this is what the defense is doing. They have too many people in the box. They're reading it well. They're pinching the edge, whatever it is. Like, we're going to adjust accordingly. So I want to see that. I'm also watching the offensive line this year. You know, we had some injuries last year. We've had some injuries pretty much every year. It seems like, you know, Mike Beattie, who's quite possibly the future head coach of Army football, is now the offensive line coach. And it's going to be interesting to see how he does and what he does. I think he brings that intensity, that passion, that knowledge. He's not going to take excuses from these guys, but he's a smart coach, and I think he's going to do the right things. So I'm interested to see kind of that dynamic between him and Davis and Munkin and kind of what happens offensively. And also having, you know, a strong presence and a strong leader like Beattie lead the O-line, is that going to free up Davis to kind of focus more on just being an offensive coordinator instead of having to wear so many hats? I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I think that offensive line is returning a lot of talent and a lot of leadership. And if guys can stay healthy, you know, their ability to just move the defensive line back 2 yards, just that, you know, as we work our way down the field, that adds up. So we'll see what happens, but that's what I'm looking for. Anything else, gentlemen? in our way too early season preview.
I'll just say I think the schedule is real interesting, and I've said this before. I think that schedule is way harder than it necessarily looks on paper without that Power Five team. You know, you got two FCS games. It's easy to just say, oh, you know, this schedule's not that tough. But no, they're opening with Coastal Carolina. They got UTSA, still got Frank Harris on the team, which is amazing to me. I thought that guy's like 30. you know, they've got Troy, who just poached one of our assistant defensive coordinators to be their defensive coordinator. So that's a headache. Like, there's good teams on there. Oh, by the way, Air Force looking good. And then The Athletic, one thing that they pointed out in this article is they sort of track the progression of recruiting, and Army and Navy are both down this year versus the rest of college football. And I don't know if that's something to do specifically with the academies or if that's the name, image, likeness effect. I would be willing to bet that it is the name, image, likeness effect. You know, I'm okay if all the academies are kind of moving in the same way, you know, if all three academies are struggling, but we can't fall off versus Navy and Air Force on the recruiting front. Like they got to hold serve. So that makes me nervous. And, you know, for what it's worth, The Athletic also called this kind of a make or break year for Ken Niumatalolo. So I think that's probably right, which means you're going to get their very best effort. And that was pretty damn good last year. So we got to watch out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with our sister service academies, especially Navy. It's been, what, three out of the four missed bowl games, three out of the last 4 years, four of the last five, something like that. So
essentially, they've been unsuccessful on a whole without Malcolm Perry. I mean, not terrible necessarily, but if you look at the last time they had like a good college football team, they also had Malcolm Perry on the team.
That was one year though, and then before that it was Keon Reynolds. So the last five or 6 years have been.
So it's so they've been struggling, and they struggled last year, and they got something to prove for better or worse.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like I said, this is our way too early season preview, so it'll be interesting to see where we kind of end up when we get close to the season. Dan, do you have a favorite thing?
Yeah, I don't know if I am the only one on the show that watched Army baseball four-peat as the Patriot League champions against Bucknell. The first two games of that series were very close and exciting. Army came back in the first one and then won a close game in the second one. The Bison did not remotely have enough depth to get into a three-game pitching duel against Army, though. That was cool. We blew them out in the third game. Went on to the NCAA tournament where they went up against number 11 Southern Miss. Wound up dropping that game 2-0, but holy crap, what a game. Southern Miss, really, really good baseball team. Army baseball, like, ask for baseball is going to be a thing next year. And I had a lot of fun following Army baseball this year.
If we all had more free time, there'd be a lot of as for sports.
Oh, that's the truth. Army baseball is a little easier to catch than some of the other sports for whatever reason, for me personally. So I don't know. I definitely didn't watch all the games, but I watched 10.
Yeah. Rob, anything from you?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. It's been interesting watching the baseball team. They've been showing up and playing outstanding. And that's been the trend for years. Army baseball is like the hidden gem of the academy. Like, if you want to watch some good baseball at the collegiate level, watch Army baseball. Like, you don't have to go anywhere else. Just turn on the games. And I think now that the Patriot League has the ESPN Plus agreement, I think that they're showing a lot more of the game. So take advantage of it. It's crazy to turn on ESPN Plus and say, oh, there's an Army game on. And then you can just turn it on and watch the whole game in its entirety. And they're not going to jump somewhere else because of the contracting and everything else. But definitely watch Army baseball. They come here every year to do the All-American. It's an All-American Classic or kickoff, something like that. So they want to play baseball where it's warm. It's not always warm in February here at Fort Bragg, but you get a good weekend series. You'll get Army, Air Force. I mean, this year they had Army, Air Force, Ohio State, and Campbell University playing in like a round robin tournament on the weekend. So that's always something cool. And, you know, it's always good to see the players get out and do something. And that's a great road trip, you know. Regardless if they're coming to Fort Bragg when it's cold, I think it's a good opportunity just to see something different. And they play in Woodpecker Stadium down here on Segra Field, which is always cool. So I think get out and see Army baseball. And like, not everybody goes at the academy either. Like, go watch a doggone game. I mean, the guys are good. you know.
I remember walking hours one time, and the OC was like, "All right, we're all going to go watch the baseball game," and I was so happy. So that was like 5 hours of sitting there watching the game. It was the best Saturday, really. It was the best.
That's not bad. So no, Army baseball okay. better than walking hours. So.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, it has been good to get back on the phone with you guys and do a show. So thank you for listening, everybody. Make sure to like the show, leave a comment, and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Maybe we'll get a TikTok this year. Probably not, but you never know.
I'm not doing that one, Jordan. If you're going to start, you know, let us know with your dance moves.
Yeah, we're going to just have Jordan do rockets on TikTok every week.
Dan's kids are going to run our TikTok for us.
Oh, man. Good luck hiring my kids to do anything.
Well, we won't get it. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon as we get more details. Stay tuned. But go Army, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Beat them.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast. As for Football and Army Athletics, you can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.